Welcome back to the Rip City Rundown podcast. This might be our final podcast before the season starts in literally less than a week at this point. Didn't realize we were officially under a week until the Blazers' first game of the season. We've had some preseason games go on. We've had some injuries. We've had some new news for the Blazers in general since our last podcast. I don't know where we will start, but it's just me and Wes today. How are you doing today, West, in the Rip City Rundown Christmas 2022 merch?
I am in the merch. It has, I believe it's got Simon's Dame and Jeremy on the back. And I want to
apologize. At least two of those are still on the team.
That is true. I want to apologize to the listeners if my voice sounds dead. I have a really bad sore throat. Also, my dog is at my feet right now, and I'm rubbing her head. Anyway, I'm excited. I feel like this season's kind of snuck up on us a little bit. And you know how I knew the season was around the corner? It's kind of a joke, but Shane Sharp went on the injury report, and I was like, yeah, season's probably around the corner. We can talk about that. We'll talk about the schedule a little bit, expectations for the Blazers. We can talk a little preseason if you want. I mean, it's kind of same old there. Scoot is – you want to jump with Scoot to start? You any miscellaneous items you have to talk about?
Yeah, so preseason-wise, like I said, same old, you know. Guys not playing. Simons hasn't played yet in the preseason. Scoot inefficient. That's kind of a same old, and Sharp, yeah, on the injury report as well. So not much new this year, but a couple takeaways from the preseason that I noticed was Abdia is a lot more athletic than I thought he was. I knew, like, he was athletic because that was a big thing. You know, we're bringing in more athletes, but he's trying to throw lobs left and right all the time. So that was pretty interesting to see. But it's less about there's no takeaways I'm going to come here and bring from the games itself, because I don't think preseason games are really important at all. It's more we're going to talk kind of macro for the whole season. And the biggest takeaway from the last month is the fact that Shane Sharp is back on the injury report. And now he's going to be back, hopefully. I want to say a couple weeks is probably the timeline, but you never know with these injuries with the Blazers. I mean, we could hold him out until Christmas because we're trying to lose games. So anything you want to say about the Sharp news, I obviously have more kind of strong opinions on Sharp, I would say, than you.
You do. You definitely have a more strong opinion on him. I mean, the only thing I would say with that is I just wish and I hope that the Blazers, while I understand what the overarching macro objective is, and that's hopefully to have Cooper Flagg put on a Blazer hat next June. That's the reality of the franchise, guys. We get comments sometimes, which I love it, but people will get mad at us for saying we're not a contender or we don't believe in the team. And they're like, Simon, Scoot, Sharp, Advia, Grant, Ayton, that's like a playoff. That's a 7 or 8 seed. And look, I want that to happen. I mean, we grew up with the Blazers going to the playoffs every year. But you have to be realistic. And while, yes, that's a good team. Like, I'll take that team. When you look at the rest of the West, it's like, in comparison, we're not good, guys. So I don't want it to come off that we're not being fans. We're just keeping it how it is. Look, when we started 0-3 last year and we were playing like the Raptors, I think our first one of the year last year was Toronto, and I was cheering so hard for us to win. Like, I want us to win, but I also understand what the objective is and what kind of the, not the goal is, but like where this team is realistically. So that's kind of freeing as a fan. We've had conversations about that last year. Going to Sharp, though, I just hope that the Blazers don't just hold him out and be so cautious with him to the point that like we're just like pushing him back with phantom injuries. Like, he needs to play. And
agreed.
Look, if he's so good that you need to shut him down because he's winning you too many games, that is awesome. But please, let's have that happen before you do anything like shut him down, because it's not gonna happen.
I agree. And like you said, with people commenting about we are low on this team, expectations should be higher. You look at anybody doing previews for the Western Conference, and there is one team that's always at the bottom and always in the capture the flag zone, and that's the Blazers. Even the Jazz sometimes make it to play-in hopefuls. The Spurs are trying to make the play-in. We are clearly, I think, the worst team in the West, and we do have talented pieces on the roster. We've got a good like 2K roster that could you could rebuild in 2K, but we don't have that one star. Like if you put Dame on this team in 2021, like this is a better roster possibly than the roster that Dame had around him in terms of depth, fit, and all that. But we don't have that guy. And I don't expect to have that guy this year either. So,
you know what that shows, I don't, though?
What?
That just shows how good he was. That shows how good Damian Lillard was. Like, because I know people will say, like, well, Simons score is averaging 25 a game, but it's like, Simons is really good, but, like, just the differences. And, like, Dame nor Simons play great defense. I know Dame can ratchet it up, and Simons can too, but just, like, the offensive or the stress that Dame would put on defenses, like he single-handedly made Nurkic average 12 a game. You saw what Nurk did at the rim. Like he single-handedly made, I don't want to say single-handedly, he was a huge contributor that we could have Aminu and Harkless be our forward core. Like think about that. So To go off your point, we are one of the worst teams in the league. That is okay. Our over-under is like 21 and a half, I think. Well, I kind of like me some under on that.
Such a great lane.
Just because I think in the past few years, we've wanted to lose, or we've been okay with like chasing losses, and we've always, like, I think we're going to really be competitive in how we want to lose this year. Like, I don't think Cronin wants to screw this up, because, like, let's be honest, like, when you, this is another reason why it's okay to be like, we not want to lose, but losing is fine. We sound like losers right now by being like, I like to lose. That's not what we're saying. We want to win, but to win, you got to lose big, then you got to lose small, and you got to win small, and then you got to win big. Every program, we've been listening to a lot of college football, Oregon Ducks. We cannot honestly talk about that at the end of this podcast. Yeah, literally. This is the Oregon program. But like, you know, Chauncey's probably not the long-term answer, but in order to win, you have to lose. So my internet just went out, Cole, if you don't know that, which is awesome. Can you hear me?
I can now. I'm okay. Sure the viewers heard everything you said. I personally did not. So I'm going to have you just, what did you close with there?
Well, what I said was, that was actually on my end. My internet just went out. So they probably didn't hear what I said. So to recap, I was talking about how I don't think Chauncey is the long-term answer, but the organization as a whole, before I said my internet went out, is that Joe Cronin is like, he chose this road, and this is a very key step in the road to acquire like your guy in this draft. And Cooper Flagg is like the cherry on top, best prospect probably, but there are some damn good guys in this draft. And I don't think the Blazers want to mess around with like, oh, we have the sixth best odds. Like, I don't think they want to mess around with that, because we've talked about it. It's quote unquote kicking the can down the road, because you're going to be bad until you get that star. And that was what your argument was we have that star in house in Dame. Let's go win with him now. Joe was probably like, I want to, you know, rebalance the books, get younger, change the identity of this team. And I want my best player to be 6'10", which is fair. Like, you probably need that. But you're not guaranteed to get that. And so the best way to do that in the league now is to be one of the four worst teams. So the Blazers will be that.
Yeah. Good news is you don't have to be the worst team. You just got to be one of the bottom, the bottom couple. You know, so it gives you a little wiggle room in terms of like,
if fans want to scrap for win 23, I'm all for it.
And we've already gone so many different directions. I mean, you were on one thing, and then when you came back with your internet, we're suddenly talking about Chauncey. So like,
I was going there.
There's too many things to talk about. And for all I know, the viewers might've heard your rant twice. So that's great. But when it comes to going back to Sharp, like you said, last thing I need to see this year is, oh, we're holding out Sharp because we want to lose games. Like, I'm sorry, Sharp's in year three. If we're in the same position going into next year where we're like, oh, Sharp's really good, we held him out because he's too good, but we don't actually know that he's that good. Like, I'm sorry, I have to see it from Sharp this year. I gave the hot take, like, I think we could trade him in the summer if he doesn't do anything this year because we choose another direction. Like, I don't know.
That's a big thing that we've been talking about. I think we definitely talked about over the summer. And then we went through like end of July, August, September, where like there's nothing to talk about. But the big thing that kind of thing on the horizon, that that object that's getting bigger and bigger in the mirror, is what are you going to do with these three guards? And who's the odd one out long term? To me, Scoot's here, unless he just continue. I don't want to say continues because he's grown, but like if he's like catastrophically bad,
yeah,
then like sure. But like even then, you're probably by the point you're like, fine, we have to trade him. You're selling him for a bag of chips. So I feel like the Blazers are going to do everything they can to keep him. I think it comes down to Sharp and Simons. And, you know, you've had hot takes in the past that it's going to be Sharp. I think the most natural thing is Simons in terms of value and like timeline, even though Simons isn't even that old.
Yeah.
But it's just...
You want to know what I fear with Sharp? You want to know what I fear with Sharp the most?
What do you fear?
From A, this is truly just because it's like deja vu with my other favorite team. Scoot. Fear with Scoot is
Bryce Young.
Yeah. Yeah. There's similarities, I mean, man.
I don't think that's the case because it's
I don't either.
Wildly
but I
different
fear.
Sports, but you have every right to be paranoid about that.
Because like And again, I'm not putting any stock in preseason, but that's exactly what I'm about to do right now. When I just go to the box score and I see Scoot like 5 for 14, it's just not great.
Great word choice there, stock. And that brings us into our next segment is I'm going to give you some players and you're going to tell me if you're buying stock or not. And then I'll say it's a basketball player.
And we're going with, we have no stock in them previously. We are truly going off where they are now.
Well, we'll start with Shaden. You definitely have sold some Shaden stock.
Great. Good sell.
And you've made some money off selling. Are you rebuying maybe, no, or are you continuing to sell Shaden?
Here's the problem. I don't know where Shaden's stock is. Is his stock still high? Because how every Blazer fan's talking about him, he has high stock.
Great point. Are you looking to day trade here? I think long-term stock, if you want to like put him in your account for 5 years, I think... You buy Shaden stock.
I just want to, while we're on Shaden, when Shaden's news came out that he had his shoulder injury and he'll be out weeks and weeks, I quote tweeted it. And I said, if you listen to the pod, you would know I'm out on Shaden Sharp being a future all-star. And this is part of the reason why. My hot take was he gets traded by the summer of next year. And this makes it the slightest of likelier. And some of the comments are fair. Like, that's a hot take. And I'm not expecting that to truly happen. It's like really just one of those takes where it's like, I'm going to throw it out there. And if it's right, I'm going to look like a genius. But when it, like some of the comments like make me a little skeptical on like how much the Blazers are, for lack of a better word, glazing Shaden Sharp. Because like one person said, weirdo, Shaden's shown no reason not to be excited for his future. Don't act like he's some injury prone player. And like,
well, he is.
That's kind of exactly what he is. And then one person says, "You're 100% wrong. Dude has the it factor." And it's just like, what is that? Like, he'd had the it factor for 15 games, but Brandon Williams also had the it factor for those 15 games. Like,
so yeah, it's funny.
Yeah.
So
I don't know.
Just to simplify the game, just buy or sell. Are you buying Sharp? Are you selling stock? Are you selling Sharp? Okay, so going back to buy or sell, just to play the game, and if you're listening on podcasts, this doesn't apply to you. If you're watching on YouTube, Cole now has stuck a piece of toilet paper or paper towel up his nose.
We're on TP.
He gets bloody noses a lot, especially when the colder especially when the colder weather comes around. So that's why he looks like that. If you're listening,
it cut on the YouTube. Just a quick stream just came out right as I was talking about Shaden Sharp. So we're gonna run that back.
We're gonna run it back. Buy or sell Shaden Sharp, Cole?
I'm gonna keep it short and sweet. I'm selling Shaden Sharp for all the reasons I've already said. I really hope he's a great player, and I will gladly lose this investment or not win this investment, however you want to view it. It's not an investment. Okay. I'm not buying any stock.
I will buy Shaden stock.
Because do you think it's currently low, or do you think...
I do. That's part of it. I think it's super low right now for... he's kind of like... Shane's kind of like a penny stock. Like, this dude will, like, jump 300% in the span of a couple weeks, and then he'll just absolutely tank. So, yeah. It's dangerous, but I'm gonna buy Shane. I think I'm I don't know about long term though, but I'm buying him right now. What about Anfernee Simons? It's high. You got to pay a premium for a little.
You think I see? Simon. That's the thing though. I'm if I'm looking at my opinion, I think Simons' stock is higher than Sharp. But if we're looking at like the common opinion of a Blazers fan, I think it's lower than Sharp. So I'm buying it because I think he's going to be higher than Sharp by the end of the year. No matter where his stock is, I'm buying it.
I'll probably.
Do I sound nasally?
No, it's just like you just look funny. I will buy Simon's stock as well. Hopefully, I'll have enough money by the end of this. Let's go to an interesting one here. I want Jeremy Grant. Buying or selling Jeremy Grant?
In terms of. That's a tough one because like I think his stock is so irrelevant. This is gonna be the most boring answer ever. I'll hold.
You'll hold. I think I'll sell because similar to what you said, I think I don't think the value is gonna go up at this point, and I think that's why you saw a lot of rumors and people talking kind of offline, people talking kind of off the record about a potential Jeremy Grant trade. I still think that's something that could happen at the deadline, maybe. I mean, I guess technically it still could happen. So yeah, I'm going to sell for that reason. I think he is a great player, though. He's a great stock, if he was a stock. JG is his ticker, if you want to go find him on the NASDAQ. Moving on. Ayton. Domin Ayton. By yourself.
So, I'm selling that to the moon.
Selling that to the moon. Okay.
I just think like at the see, that's the thing though. It might not be smart because he did find his stride at the end of the year last year and he was looking really good, putting up a lot of 20 and 10 games.
I agree. I'm gonna sell.
It's tough though. Yeah. We'll,
I'm gonna sell
actually not to the moon. Not to the moon. It's a subtle sell.
It's a subtle sell. I mean, if you just look at the fundamentals of Ayton, I think you know what he is as a player, and for that reason, I'm out. Because dude could be averaging 20 and 10 and a just wicked, wicked ice storm comes through and, you know, and there you go. I'm kidding. I'm not going to say Klingon. I think we're obviously buying Klingon. I think we're obviously buying Odvia. We'll do one more just for the fun. Tumani Kamara. Is he a legit NBA basketball player at this point?
And I'm buying this. This is solely not on my personal opinion because it's hard to know. It's not like I've seen Tumani Kamara in the gym, but based on other Blazer reporters that have a lot more access than us two,
than your boy,
I'm going to go with buy because Tumani is kind of the prototypical NBA player you want as a role player, and I think he could be really good with that, and I'll buy it. I think I think a Denny-Tumani little duo could be a upgraded version of an Aminu Harkless in terms of like those play styles and what we want from a type of player.
That's an interesting take because I agree with you defensively. I mean, not to throw Aminu and Harkless to the side, they were great defensively. Maybe you get a little more youth and athleticism here. I know Aminu wasn't the most athletic. Harkless was, but the shooting is what held back Aminu and Harkless, obviously. I'm curious, Tumani and Denny with their shooting. I think that's still jury's out there a little bit. What would be great is you get an absolute stud at power forward in the draft and you have that three to kind of,
yeah,
you know, grind on the court.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure.
Talk to me about Scoot, Wes. Where are you at with him?
Scoot Henderson. I am going to be honest with you. I am pretty emotionally attached to this guy because this is a fair point. I'm not going to say I like Joe Cronin necessarily, but for me to be sane and for me to know that like the franchise is in not good hands, but quote unquote, like hands that are like competent, I guess is the word I'm looking for, incompetent hands. I need Scoot Henderson to be good.
It also going off that, it would like lighten the blow of the Dame trade a lot more.
Exactly. And he is kind of the face of like, he's the face of the next era. And I don't want to go through a I don't want to have this 2000 to 2014 gap where we are going through like dark, dark times. I'm not saying we'll ever get back to the Jailblazer era, obviously, but just like an era where we stink. I don't want like a generation of suckage. I want like a rebuild and a retool, yeah. Not a retool, a proper rebuild that takes 5 to 7 years. And Scoot is a big part of if that is successful or not. And I also just have a soft spot for him. He's from our hometown. He's younger than me, obviously, by quite a few years, which is pathetic for
me. We're going to start saying more and more and more and
more.
Oh,
yeah. Literally, I mean, if your name's not Cam Rising, you're probably younger than me.
God, dude, don't get me started on Cam Rising.
Coming back for a 15th year?
Yeah, literally. Let's talk about Scoot real quick.
I'm buying Scoot.
I actually will buy Scoot as well, despite the, again, a preseason performance that isn't amazing. You know, Scoot as the person gives me a lot more, like, unfortunately, Scoot, because he's more outgoing and because, like, his play style and mentality is more, like, aggressive and more, like, you can visually see it, that gives me a little more confidence in him to improve than a guy like Shaedon Sharpe. So that's just me. Okay, so let's take a look at this opening schedule. Who are we starting with? We're starting with the Warriors at home, actually. We get a home opener, which is not normal, I feel like, for the Blazers. Okay, not normal is a little cruel, but at this point in the Blazers franchise and where we're at, you wouldn't think we would be hosting our first game. But we actually start with the Pelicans after the Warriors 2 games in a row, both at home. Weird with how that works. I don't really get that. But let's just look at the 5 October games. We go home Warriors, 2 home Pelicans, at Kings, at Clippers. Where are we at after those games? And do you care?
I don't care. But I think we're gonna win one of those first 3 home games. We'll play the Pelicans twice at home. That's really weird. We definitely win one of those.
I actually think we could beat the Warriors night one, unless Steph goes nuke.
The Warriors are also a team that is very reliant on Steph Curry. I am going through the schedule right now, Cole, and I want you to guess how many nationally televised games the Blazers have this season.
Is it zilch?
And NBA TV does count.
It does count. Then I'm going to say like 3.
We have 3.
I think the Blazers Bucks is our only actually natty TV game.
That is on TNT, and then we have 2 others on NBA TV. I put the schedule away. One might be the Suns, honestly. So national television just wants to see former Blazers come back, I guess. I mean, of course, Bucks Blazers. I mean, talk about that was honestly one of the most entertaining games last year for Blazer fans. That was sick.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, Jazz. We have Jazz on NBA TV. That's weird. And the other NBA TV, it's Cavs.
Yeah, but I mean, the schedule is. I know how we used to, you know, we used to talk about like what's going to be the record. I'm like 2-1 week, maybe 3-1 week. You know, but.
It's not that type of team anymore. We're not here to do that.
We could probably say anywhere from 0-3 week, or we could say anywhere from 0-4 week to 2-2 week, and one of you would be. I mean, how many weeks are we going to go over 500 this year?
If I gave you for every 5-game stretch, how many times will we go at least 3-2? If I set the line at, if I set the line at 1. So you get a push at 1. You're taking the over still? You think, okay, that may have been a cruel line. Let's go 2.5.
Now we're talking.
juice to the under.
Can I 2.5? Do I get? Yeah, I'll say over. I'll say there's 3 weeks.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. I don't know what the numbers would say.
It sounds depressing. It sounds depressing, but we are going to be doing these pods throughout the season regularly, I hope, and of course, like when a team I like sucks, I don't want to like consume content from that team. Like I totally get it, but I hope you guys stick around to the people listening to this, because we do like to share our thoughts about the long-term state of the franchise, player development. We're going to have Chauncey. We're going to be rating Chauncey a lot this year, Joe. And honestly, just pop into the comments. And even if we do like a live show after like, if we do like Bucks Blazers live show, I'm sure we might be able to swing a couple this season, but get in the live chat and just like, I just want to talk to people and get excited about the future because the present's not looking too hot.
Yeah,
but I know there are still those positive people out there.
I'm weirdly excited to watch this first game last year. I actually didn't get a chance to watch the Clippers game last year, opening night. And, you know, it's not something I'm really pissed off I missed because, like, nothing happened. But I don't know. Blazer basketball, when it's going well, is the most fun thing to watch for me personally.
You know what mine is?
What?
It's probably Clemson football, but it's also Oregon football.
Yeah.
If you want to segue into it, a little Ducks.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. That top five, top 10. I'll say top 10 just so I'm leaving myself from wiggle room. Top 10 most entertaining sporting event I've ever watched in terms of just like anticipation for it, the actual game, just everything that goes in it. It's a core memory. It really is. It's like.
It is. And. Yeah. For me, it enters that Mount Rushmore of like, if I'm bored and I need to pull up highlights of an old game, it's on there.
That's a good point.
Passed the test.
Comparing to other Duck games in your memory, I'm trying to think if there's any game that comes close to that.
Pac-12 championship last year. Anticipation wise, that was up there. I was a little young for the absolute smattering of the Seminoles in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, I won't say that's a core memory. No. I weirdly say, like, I just have vivid memories of that Oregon-Auburn game, when Bo was a freshman. I don't know why. This is up there.
It's funny. Probably my two, I mean, obviously going to Clemson, the national championship, like the best game I ever saw was the 2016 Natty.
Mm-hmm.
The Hunter Renfrow game winning catch, but like non-championship games, like all time, the Clemson Ohio State game from the playoff,
yep.
And then this Oregon Ohio State's giving me some
and
good
even
memories.
The last so Oregon Ohio State game when we went to Ohio State and won that game with Anthony Brown, yeah. And Verdell, like I forgot about that one. That's a core memory right there.
So is Oregon, would you bet on Oregon to win the Natty?
Yeah.
Like, forget the value. Would you bet on them to win the Natty?
I think I would. It's funny because, like, I remember I told you I have that, like, stupid little lay where it's Yankees World Series, Oregon Natty, Chiefs Super Bowl, Rory McIlroy wins the Masters, and I put $1 on it right now, and technically the cash out is $2. So I have the value because...
What was the odds on that? Or what's the payout on that? One to win what?
Well, I'll tell you what each leg is in terms of like, yeah, each leg.
I mean, you're getting a ton of value on Chiefs and Ducks.
So
and
you get
Yankees
at +550. They are now, I want to say like in the +200 range. So that's good.
Nice.
They're currently losing right now as we're recording, but up 2-0 in the series. Oregon at +1100. They're at like +550 now. So
who?
That's also Oregon.
Oregon.
Chiefs, okay. +500. I want to say that's still pretty similar.
Yeah.
That has I'm not necessarily confident in the Chiefs because they haven't looked amazing. And then Rory's not going to change. He's +1,000, which is probably too low. Like he should be higher. But it's one to win a little over 5K.
Cool. It would be cinema.
It's +5 million.
It would be cinema if we go into a Sunday on Augusta in the back nine and Rory has a one-shot lead for the lay and his first green jacket.
Well, that's the reason I did it is because like I wanted all these things to be over before Rory. So I didn't want to put an NBA championship in there because that obviously comes after Rory. So I really basically just want it to be like we're going into Augusta when Rory's odds are really +1,000. It's for me, it's +5 million.
Primed and juiced up for a miscut,
but if I had put like $10 on it, like literally I probably would have cashed out by now because like technically that's not bad, or I would have waited to see if like the Yankees won, but it's a dollar,
I mean,
so we ride.
I think you're gonna I mean, I honestly would wait until the, like, you live if the Yankees lose to the Guardians. Like, you're not, but like, if they go to the World Series, like, I'm curious what it is at the start.
I more so just like to see, like, what the cash outs are. I don't think I'll ever will because it's a dollar. Like, it's not a anything crazy.
Wait, it's plus 5 million? So that's to win 500 or 5,000?
5,000. 5.1K.
A dollar to win 5,000.
Yeah, it's plus 514. Oh, no, it's plus 514,000. Excuse me. It's not 5 million.
It's plus. But it's to win.
It's to win $5,147.
Okay, guys. So. Stick along to this podcast and we'll see if this thing keeps going.
I actually listen to, so I obviously, for those that don't know, I go to Charlotte. I listen to the Charlotte podcast, and this one guy, who's on the podcast, the whole WNBA season, like, had a future that had the Aces to win it all, and they obviously got knocked out. So every week he was giving updates on that, which was very funny.
That's funny.
But honestly,
yeah, man,
I'm also looking at the Ducks schedule. Like, of course, the game tomorrow night is no slouch. Even though Purdue is god awful, they have the history.
And a nice game.
But like, now that we beat Ohio State, like,
schedule
you got to think we are a, like, I do a guessing game for you. I'm freaking stuttering so much right now. I'm gonna pull up the odds of Oregon to make the playoff, and I want to tell you I want you to tell me what you think it is. It's minus 2,000, so never mind. We are minus 2,000, yeah, which makes sense.
Well, because beating Ohio State, you basically now have you're up two in the loss column.
I want you to guess. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There are 10 teams with minus odds to make the playoff. Can you tell me those 10?
Texas
and Oregon.
Texas and Oregon. Give me Ohio State.
Yep. It's minus 700.
Still, that is crazy. They need to lose three times.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Minimum. Give me Georgia.
Georgia's minus 460.
That's crazy. Give me Penn State.
Penn State's minus 600 because basically they only play Ohio State. They lose that game. They coast the rest of the year.
Yeah, they're gonna do the classic 11-1. No Big Ten title.
And they're gonna get like the sixth seed. Like, people don't realize that 12 teams is a lot. There's gonna be a three loss team. Miami is minus 240.
That's six, I think.
Yeah, it's six of them.
I'm gonna. This is super risky, but I'm gonna say Alabama.
Bama minus 330.
That's disgusting. That's great value. If anyone wants to take no on that, because they still have to go to Missouri, to Tennessee. They got to play the Iron Bowl. They got to go to Oklahoma, and they got to go to LSU.
True. That's a good point.
That is great value, Cole. You should bet that.
Alabama, I wonder if that not is a, I wonder if you can do no. I would assume you can.
Okay, yeah, sorry. Continuing. Yeah,
three
on.
More
Tennessee.
Teams. Who?
Tennessee. Somehow.
No, plus 100.
Oh, okay,
so they would be number 11.
So probably. Oh, so Boise State.
Boise State minus 105. The next closest. The next closest.
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame is minus 120. And then one more team, Wes.
And the classic. I want to say Clemson.
It's Clemson minus 170.
Okay.
Because I think they still think even if Clemson goes and loses to Miami, they would make it. But teams after that, we got Tennessee, Iowa State plus 135, Texas A&M plus 140, like SMU is plus 230. Like, if you want to get value on this, like, Colorado is still plus 1,600. Like,
they ain't making it big.
I know, but it's just so interesting how it works.
Good time to be a Duck fan, though. They are legit.
Yeah, no,
and Dan Lanning.
No, for Alabama's plus 240.
That's really not bad at all.
I don't know. Yeah, that's interesting.
Because
something to think about.
I don't know. We'll talk about that bet off the air, and we'll come back next pod, and
we'll come back with a portfolio of futures.
Yeah. I honestly think Dan Lanning is like. This is a little biased as a Clemson fan, but he Dabo 2014 was like the new coach in town, he won't go down the Dabo path of transfer portal. Like, he's the modern era Dabo of, like, he's bringing talent, whether it's transfer portal or freshmen and just recruiting to the Pacific Northwest.
And he does it a lot. And this could just be like every coach could do this. And we just don't see the access because we obviously have the access to a lot of Oregon stuff with the Ducks versus them docuseries. But like, he does it a lot, I feel like, with like motivational tactics. And he's not necessarily the X's and O's coach, even though like you see
it. I mean, he's still got it, but
he's not like, he's still X's and O's. Who's an X's and O's coach in college football these days? I don't know.
Lincoln Riley.
He's not a Steve Sarkisian, like an offensive wizard, or Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
He doesn't call the plays. He doesn't call the defense. I mean, he's like a CEO coach, but he's such a good one.
And that's like, that's where I feel like he's kind of got, he kind of is Dabo, Kirby, Nick Saban, like,
honestly,
where like he knows ball, but like he is such a good motivator. And he, like, Oregon as a program is like maniacal about like recruiting. Like, he's one of the best recruiters in the country right now.
Dude, my favorite thing with the Ducks or Slim thing is like, they're like, you know, hey, Dylan, you watch the new one? He's like, hey, Dylan, what's this? Double go. Yeah, we're going to be the first team to take shots on them this year. And then it just pans to the shot to Evan Stewart and the shot to Tez. It's like, we speak it into existence. It's awesome.
Yeah. Even like at the end, I think it was later in the Ducks versus them. People listen to this. You got to watch it. But he was like, it was like in the staff meeting, and he was saying, I want us to trust like getting the ball in our best player's hands. Like, we're going to get the ball to Jordan James, 3rd and 6.
Get the ball to Jordan James and run it behind. I forget what the left tackle's name is. And he's like, but run it behind that guy. And it's just so good.
Yeah. It's a great series.
They dropped I don't know if they dropped it on YouTube. I haven't watched it yet. They dropped like 9 minutes of bonus content on the Twitter. So if it's not on the YouTube, go on the Oregon football Twitter. I've yet to watch it, but I need to go do it.
I'm drinking the Oregon Kool-Aid right now. Yeah. I'm locked in.
I'm really glad their game's Friday night. I kind of love that. Just let me. It's just like, I love it when the Panthers play on Thursday night football or Sunday night or Monday night, because it's like, I want to watch all of college football or all the NFL, but I also would rather watch my team's full game.
Yeah.
So having it on a Friday night is good.
It's good for us. It's a little trappy for them, but
a little trappy for them. But you know.
you've seen the stats or the record of Big Ten teams, probably just teams in general traveling cross country.
Oh, and at Purdue, they've beaten Iowa, Michigan State, and Ohio State.
When you travel three times or two time zones, teams are like, I don't know the record. It's really bad.
Yeah, but
yeah, even Miami. Miami barely won.
Dan's never had a letdown game. He's notoriously hasn't won the big games, but you know, I think back to Arizona State in 2019 under Cristobal with Herbert, and you know, should have been an easy, we were up spread was like 20 plus. That was Jane Daniels
and IU
and freaking Rashad White and
that's
somebody else that I can't remember. But yeah,
that's fair.
I feel like that's all we got.
Yep.
If you came for Blazers and stayed for Ducks, then you are right with us in terms of fandom right now. Sorry for the bloody. it's a tough look. But hey, it happens. And those of you that watch our TikTok content too, thank you very much. And no, this is not my math. For those that commented that on the TikTok, it's not my math. I actually don't take math this semester, which is awesome. Anything else, Wes?
Nope, you hit it all.
All right.
Next pod.
I want to say it.
Coming up at the end of the month, maybe some early November.
Yeah, probably end of the month, because once the actual games start.
Early November, you're coming home.
In fact, we definitely have to do a pod when we're in person. But once games start, like, we'll have more to talk about. And at least for the first week, like, I will be watching, hopefully, full games. That would be ideal. But thanks for watching, guys. We will see you guys next podcast for more, I was about to say more Ducks talk, for more Blazers talks first and foremost, but hey, you never know. You might get some Ducks content sprinkled in there. So we'll see you guys next time. Peace.